Bob, you missed Limits and I harmonizing in tribute to Dan Zangrilli arriving here in studio. That was my bad. I forgot. I completely forgot.
I'm forgettable.
Well, you're not.
No, Dan,
the,
you're not.
The pirates are right now, but you are not. And I apologize for that on behalf of Limits and myself, and I hope the little song we sang to you during his update somehow soothe things over here, Dan, and welcome.
Everything's better with the majesty of song, your voice, your face.
My face especially.
Why can't the Pirates come up with somebody like Andy Páez? He killed them this week, and I looked at the last series they have. In his last seven games, he's had 586 batting average, 8 runs batted in, 4 home runs, 3 stolen bases, a 1,300.
Whoa. Lest you forget the legacy of John Nagowski, Pomp.
Yeah, Bob.
Okay, so he's going to turn
Nagowski.
Out to be the big Nagowski. I don't think so.
No. I know. That's
how old
Bullseye.
Is he? He's like 24,
Bullseye.
Right? He's a young kid.
Bullseye. How about, have you ever heard of Carson Kelly?
Yes. Last night I heard of him. Big time.
For the first time.
You know who I didn't heard? I didn't know who that catcher would have 18 runs batted in an OPS of 1371, last I checked. Mm-hmm. He's not young now. I know he's been around because he was with, I think, Texas or somebody. But that's a good signing. Where did they get him? Was it a free agent signing?
How about Kyle Tucker? Have you heard of Kyle?
They should have done that. That's a reasonable price for somebody who can be really good, which he is. Sorry, Joe.
No.
My Andy Páez thing drove me nuts.
I'm enjoying this.
I could not understand how the Pirates didn't pitch to him differently throughout the course of that. It seemed like he hit everything. Maybe he's just that hot, you know?
There are issues, and they are many.
Well, that's where we began today, Dan, is they're sitting here at 11-19. Mm. They have to go 74-58 to get to, what is it, 85 wins limits? Is that it? And that might not even get you a wild card. They're getting blown off the field now the past three games. This is an unmitigated disaster, and I take no joy in bringing up this topic, but it's a recurring one, is how long could any manager in a situation like this, whether we think it's right or wrong, whether we think that removing Derek Shelton would mean that much of a difference, how long could any manager, you and I have been watching baseball for 100 years, survive this? Like, how is he surviving this?
Yeah. I would imagine he feels pressure. Has to, right? I would think. It's not coming out in the rhetoric. He's putting on a really good public face, and I think burying it very deep down below the surface. I'm going to hold serve with the 60 games. They played their 30th last night, so how long? I'm going to go 60 because that gives you, and listen, you can make the case, Joe, and, you know, how about the previous 5 years, right? That's a big enough sample size. But
how about just since he signed his contract extension when they were 14-7? I believe they're 40 or 50 games under 500 since then.
You could make changes today. You could have made changes 2 weeks ago. And you could have been obviously well within your rights, completely justified, and had overwhelming evidence to support the decision.
Yeah.
But this is the year, I believe, and this is just my opinion. I haven't been told anything specifically, but this is the year to pay the rent, the tab's due. Okay, you're missing your entire right side of the infield. Okay, you're missing two starters in your rotation. Okay, this, that, and the other thing. You're missing one of your catchers. They've been eroded from a depth perspective. Taking all of that into account and not making excuses, whether or not the rent is due there at the end of this 60-game sample size, because I think at that point you have a pretty good indication that you're not fooled one way or the other, for better or for worse. Once those 60 games come and go, you take a look at where you're at. In this case, it's, you know, 11-18. If they're 20-40, I mean, I'll ask the same question that you're asking. How can you not make a move? Because at that point, if you've showed no signs of progress, if you haven't surged or some of the reinforcements that hopefully come back make an impact on this team, then yeah, you are you've got to answer, and I'm talking to the owner here. You've got to answer to your fan base 100%.
Yeah, and I think it goes deeper than just manager too. It's everything, right? I mean, the whole program after 6 years has to be looked at and determined that it needs a freshening, and you need to start over. And I hate to say that because they've started over so many times, but you know, it's one of those things. And we had this debate today, Joe and I did, Dan, about the impact of Derek Shelton here, and does it, you know, translate into wins and losses, and how many, if so? They're 11-19. That's 30 games. I mean, I think he's made some decisions that have hurt them from a lineup point of view, changing it as much, and also using bullpen people. How many games do you think he's actually impacted so far in 30 games?
So on the lineup front, I don't agree in changing as much as he does, but I also do believe in changing to be matchup specific, left versus right, the certain pitch that the opposing guy has that your particular hitter may be good against. So from a matchup standpoint, you have to, like any coach in any sport, you have to play the matchups. You don't just, for hell or high water, pen in your nine guys that you did 30 years ago and run them out there. But I also don't move the deck chairs around and overthink it, because there is paralysis by analysis. So I'm somewhere in the middle there. From a in-game managerial deployment, there are far more areas where I have turned my head to the side, found myself first guessing, than I did, as unfair as this may be. And I had plenty of issues, more so not with his baseball side, with his predecessor, but I found myself in far more agreement managing alongside the manager as I watched the game. I was in far more agreement with Shelton's predecessor than I am with how Shelton goes about it. And listen, he's done some really good things. He's won them some games, but I mean, yeah, there's far more do-overs that I've found in areas in the post-game show where I'm like, I have no idea where he's at with this.
Never more so than Saturday night in L.A. when Joey Bart tries to score from third on a shallow fly ball, and it was unclear whether he went on his own or whether Mike Rebelgo, who doesn't know the word stop, and by the way, he follows in the grand tradition of Goey Cora and Rick Gofield, Shelty says after the game, he's asked, well, did Bart go on his own or did Rebelgo send him? And he says, I don't know on that. I don't know what happened. Dan, that's not what anybody wants to hear. The comments under this story by the Beeswhacker, Colin Beasley from Post-Gazette, are filled with people ripping Shelton. It reminds me of Charrington when he's asked to explain the hitting woes and goes into deep under the surface analytic stats and sounds like an attorney. Somebody's got to get to these guys and say, gentlemen, nobody wants to hear, A, that you don't know what happened on a play when you're the manager of the team, and B, if you're the GM, nobody wants to hear attorney talk. Please let people know what's going on. Please.
And I think, yeah, the overarching narrative and the ire of the fans is, I think, steeped in not necessarily the personnel on the field. Yeah, they're ticked off about that. But they want somebody to commiserate with. They are mad that you're not mad.
And you hear from these people more than anybody in town on the postgame.
And that's why I try to do the type of show that I do, because there are times where we need to commiserate with one another. We need to connect with each other. We're in this together. And it never really should be a them and us sort of thing, where you have the establishment and the organization and the ivory tower. It should be one cohesive, connective tissue. If you're truly able to connect with your fans. And I think especially here in Pittsburgh, you will get a pass, and your fan base will be sympathetic towards the brutal socioeconomic status of the Pirates in the bigger, larger Major League Baseball dysfunctional ecosystem if you would just speak a bit more candidly. If you would show on your face, and I'm not saying that you need to lose any and all emotions and faculties. I'm not sure that you need to flip tables and pull a Hal McCray where you rip the phone out of the wall and hit a reporter in the head with it. If you saw that video from years ago,
like, yeah.
Well, that does make a statement, though.
It does. But I think that when you, and it's in the rhetoric of how they speak of, yeah, you got to adhere to a process to a point, and you have to be unflappable and steady at the wheel to a point, but you need to be able to connect with your fans. And I think you make things worse if you just whistle through the graveyard, comport yourself as if this is all okay, nothing is wrong, things are burning down around you, and that's all fine and good. No, you need to be ticked off. And fans are probably mad that they don't see you ticked off. You probably are behind the scenes, but that front-facing of calm and stoicism is doing you no favors.
What about accountability? What about, and we had this discussion also, because I'm a big believer that if I were, I had asked for very, I remember Jim Leland said this to his group once. He said, I'm not going to challenge you on a lot of stuff, but all I want, and this is my expectation, that you bust your butt every day, that I see no excuses in that. And when you don't, it may cost you a time to play. Do we see enough of that?
No, because that goes back to, I think, the rhetoric and the accountability. And, you know, you respect a manager or a coach protecting their players or coaches to an extent. So, for instance, the Rebello thing. I don't know, was Shelton's answer. That was maybe a backhanded, passive-aggressive way of perhaps sending a message to his third base coach. This is just me spitballing here. Maybe he's sending a message to his third base coach while also trying to protect him in the same breath. How about we just speak candidly here? Because this is the era of social media cutting through BS, where it's really hard to pull the wool over anybody's eyes and for them not to suspect something. Our BS meters and antennas are at an all-time high. So to try to take that tact and not speak openly, honestly, candidly, and be authentic, right? It only exacerbates the problems. You've got to be able to connect with people, and you do that in an authentic manner by letting them see who you are. Not the entire curtain doesn't need to be pulled back, but I think we would all take comfort in seeing somebody snap out. Yes.
When will we see Brian Reynolds? Brian Reynolds.
Bubba Chandler.
That's a legitimate question.
He's 0 for his
when
last 18.
When will we see Brian Reynolds?
Yeah. He does go through some slumps.
Especially early.
Yeah. He's Adam LaRoche II at the moment.
Well, he was on one there for a little while and carrying the team, but
I should have left that question as is. Yeah. But when will we see Bubba Chandler?
Chandler, I would like to think, if I'm going to pinpoint it here.
He pitches tonight, I think, too.
Yeah, I'm going to say the Atlanta series.
So May 9th, 10th?
He's really on a similar track to Paul Skeens, almost an identical blueprint, and they've been quick to clarify that, okay, yeah, there are some differences because they're different individuals, but I think they really like, and listen, you got to give credit where it's due. I think they did a tremendous job with Skeens and how they handled him. In hindsight, you would have brought him up, you know, at the beginning of the year, broke camp, so you get the draft pick, but I think how they handled Skeens, it was a terrific case study, one that they are using on Chandler. So Skeens was up May 11 last year. I'm going to go, it would be about a week later, I think, that Atlanta series, or right around that same time, I think, is when the Braves are in town. So that's, if I'm hedging a bet, that's when I'm going with Chandler.
Yeah, I would have done it already. I'm just, Majinski's fine for me in a bullpen role, but, you know, I understood the first few weeks of the season. I've seen enough from Chandler down there. I think, you know, 5 starts, is that enough? I think it is for a guy of his capabilities, and he's been terrific down there.
Yeah, and on Majinski, I think they also did want to kind of half-heartedly see what he could do as a starter, because he has the pitches, he has the stuff. Can he put it all together, turn the lineup over multiple times? If by chance they didn't do that, and you know, that's a tragedy. Not running that out. Majinski is a starter. I don't think he can be a starter. I think he's a reliever. I'm with you, Bob. I would say that this is his last start or second to last start, But I'm glad that they did go through this project, as painful as it sometimes has been.
No, he started great. That's what makes me think he's better suited for a bullpen.
It's one time through.
Yeah, the second time, and that could be true of a lot of pitchers, actually. So,
yeah, and they wanted to see if he could give him a handful of chances to roll that lineup over multiple times to show that he can't do it.
Right. No, I get that.
Dan, we appreciate the time. We're going to hear you on pregame and postgame tonight.
Indeed.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Dan Zangrilli.
Zangrilli Lane.
Zangrilli.
Da, 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 da. That's right over there.
That was baritone.
Yeah.
That was bass.
Now, if we can combine myself, Limits, and Bob on a rendition of Zangrilli Lace, you want to try that, Bob?
What are the words, though? I don't know all the words.
I don't know. Remember that song, yeah. Chantilly Lace?
Well, let's cue
so
it
we,
up.
We just go, wait a minute. We're not allowed to. Zangrilli Lace, da-da-da-da-da.
How do you spell Chantilly?
I don't know.
Chantilly.
Limits? You'll pipe in as a soprano here? Is that what we're doing?
Yes, I'm a willing party here in this singing opera situation.
If we don't know the words, you got to hum it then, right?
Well, no, it's just a short intro, Zangrilli Lace, and you can hum it or da-da-da-da.
You've been doing this for a decade. May I ask for the first time, where the hell did it come from?
Dirtbag Dan is what I call him.
He's a different breed. You should know that by now.
It
he is a different breed.
Came from the song Chantilly Lace.
No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about your singing.
He's talking specifically about Zangrilli Lace.
The singing and this.
Well, I mean, you sing about everything.
Yeah.
But it's every day in the hall.
Right. That's my greeting.
For 10 years.
For 10 years.
For 10
years.
Phone.
A decade.
Good morning, City Limits. You truly are so kind. Good morning, City Limits. You like to eat pork rinds. I've never eaten one pork rind in my life.
Whenever there's a doubt, you call it pork rinds.
Paul Blart rhyming with smart. Bob, give this a shot, and then as we go through it, I want you to riff in an Elvis-like voice. It's going to go Zangrilli Lace, da-da-da-da-da.
You know we're on the air right now, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Limits, pipe in wherever you feel.
Yes.
Fit, okay. A one, a two, and a three.
Zangrilli Lace.
Gotta have
da, 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 da,
da. Things you want to do.
Zangrilli Lace.
Zangrilli Lace.
Da, 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 da.
Gotta have a place. And that place is the pregame show.
This is as.
Should that be our Dan intro every
this
time?
This is more
on?
Disastrous than the whipping winds of yesterday.
I thought that was pretty good, Dan. And you should be honored, I think. Should we add that to the intro?
Maybe we should review it first and see how it turned out.
Bob, you were fantastic, as always. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks.
Thank you, Dan.
I think.